ai lauri e lantar lassi surine, in iar un notti narve ramar alloron, in iar velinti iulmar vani ermior mar delessi miru voriva, andunne pella vardo telma nulluini jassen tintelar jeleni, o mario aeritari lirine. Si mani iulda ninnen quantuva, anzi den talle var oio lossi ove fania maria delentari ortene, arigli tia rundullave lumbole a sindano riello caita morni e falma linna rimbe metta hissie un tuppa calachiglio miri oiele. Si vannuna, romello vannu a valimar. Na marie, na hiru vaglie valimar, na elie hiruva, na marie.
Deep down here by the dark water lived old Gollum. I don't know where he came from, nor who or what he was. He was Gollum. As dark as darkness, except for two big, round, pale eyes. He had a boat, and he rowed about quite quietly on the lake, for lake it was, wide and deep and deadly cold. He paddled it with large feet dangling over the side, but never a ripple did he make, not he. He was looking out of his pale, lamp-like eyes for blind fish, which he grabbed with his long fingers as quick as thinking. He liked meat, too. Goblin, he thought, good, when he could get it. But he took care they never found him out. He just throttled them from behind if ever they came down alone anywhere near the edge of the water while he was prowling about. They very seldom did, for they had a feeling that something unpleasant was lurking down there, down at the very roots of the mountain. They had come on the lake when they were tunneling down long ago, and they found they could go no further. So there their road ended in that direction. There was no reason to go that way, unless the great goblin sent them. Sometimes he took a fancy for fish from the lake, and sometimes neither goblin nor fish came back. Actually, Gollum lived on a slimy island of rock in the middle of the lake. He was watching Bilbo now from the distance with his pale eyes like telescopes. Bilbo could not see him, but he was wondering a lot about Bilbo, for he could see that he was no goblin at all. Gollum got into his boat and shot off from the island while Bilbo was sitting on the brink, altogether flummoxed and at the end of his way in his wits. Suddenly up came Gollum and whispered and hissed, "Bless us and splash us, my precious. I guess it's a choice feast. At least the tasty morsel it'll make us Gollum." And when he said Gollum, he made a horrible swallowing noise in his throat. That is how he got his name, though he always called himself My Precious. The hobbit jumped nearly out of his skin when the hiss came in his ears, and he suddenly saw the pale eyes sticking out at him. "Who are you?" he said, thrusting his dagger in front of him. "What is he, My Precious?" whispered Gollum, who always spoke to himself, through never having anyone else to speak to. That is what he had come to find out, for he was not really very hungry at the moment, only curious. Otherwise, he would have grabbed first and whispered afterwards. "I'm Mr. Bilbo Baggins. I've lost the dwarves and I've lost the wizard and I don't know where I am. I don't want to know if only I can get away."
"What's he got in his hands is?"
said Gollum, looking at the sword, which he did not quite like. "A sword, a blade which came out of Gondolin." said Gollum, and became quite polite.
"Perhaps she sits here and chats with it a bit, see, my precious. It likes riddles, perhaps, does it? Does it?"
He was anxious to appear friendly, at any rate for the moment, until he found out more about the sword and the hobbit, whether he was quite alone, really, whether he was good to eat, and whether Gollum was really hungry. Riddles were all he could think of. Asking them, and sometimes guessing them, had been the only game he'd ever played with other funny creatures sitting in their holes in the long, long ago before the goblins came, and he was cut off from his friends far under the mountains. "Very well," said Bilbo, who was anxious to agree, until he found out more about the creature, whether he was quite alone, whether he was fierce or hungry, and whether he was a friend of the goblins. "You ask first," he said, because he had not had time to think of a riddle. So Gollum hissed,
"What has roots as nobody sees? He's taller than trees. Up, up he goes, and yet never grows."
"Easy," said Bilbo. "Mountain, I suppose."
"Does it guess easy? It must have a competition with us, my precious. If precious asks and it doesn't answer, Eats it, my precious. If it asks us and we doesn't answer, then we does what it wants, eh? We shows it the way out, yes?
All right, said Bilbo, not daring to disagree and nearly bursting his brain to think of riddles that could save him from being eaten. There are 30 white horses on a red hill. First they champ, then they stamp, then they stand still. That was all he could think of to ask. The idea of eating was rather on his mind. It was rather an old one, too, and Gollum knew the answer as well as you do.
Chestnuts, chestnuts, he hissed. Teeth, teeth, my precious, but we's only six.
Then he asked his second.
Voiceless it cries, wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters.
Half a moment, cried Bilbo, who was still thinking uncomfortably about eating. Fortunately, he had once heard something rather like this before, and getting his wits back, he thought of the answer. Wind, wind, of course, he said, and he was so pleased that he made one up on the spot. This lot puzzled the nasty little underground creature, he thought. An eye in a blue face saw an eye in a green face. That eye is like to this eye, said the first eye, but in a low place, not in a high place. Said Gollum. He had been underground a long, long time, and was forgetting this sort of thing. But just as Bilbo was getting impatient, Gollum brought up memories of ages and ages and ages before, when he had lived with his grandmother in a hole in a bank by a river.
My precious, he said, sun on the daisies it means, it does.
But these ordinary above-ground, everyday sort of riddles were tiring for him. Also, they reminded him of days when he had been less lonely and sneaky and nasty, and that put him out of temper. What is more, they made him hungry. So this time he tried something a bit more difficult and more unpleasant.
It cannot be seen, cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills and empty holes it fills. It comes first and follows after, ends life, kills laughter.
Unfortunately for Gollum, Bilbo had heard that sort of thing before, and the answer was all round him anyway.
Dark, he said,
without even scratching his head or putting on his thinking cap. A box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside his head, he asked, to gain time, until he could think of a really hard one. This he thought a dreadfully easy chestnut, though he had not asked it in the usual words. But it proved a nasty poser for Gollum. He hissed to himself, and still he did not answer. He whispered and spluttered. After some while, Bilbo became impatient.
Well, what is it, he said.
The answer's not a kettle boiling over, as you seem to think from the noise you're making.
Give us a chance. Let it give us a chance, my precious.
Well, said Bilbo, after giving him a long chance, what is it? But suddenly Gollum remembered thieving from nests long ago, and sitting under the river, teaching his grandmother to suck
eggs as it is.
Then he asked, alive without breath, as cold as death,
never thirsty, ever drinking, all in mail, never clinking.
He also, in his turn, thought this was a dreadfully easy one because he was always thinking of the answer. But he could not remember anything better at the moment. He was so flustered by the egg question. All the same, it was a poser for poor Bilbo, who never had anything to do with the water if he could help it. I imagine you know the answer, of course, or can guess it as easy as winking, since you are sitting comfortably at home and have not the danger of being eaten to disturb your thinking. Bilbo sat and cleared his throat once or twice. But no answer came. After a while, Gollum began to hiss with pleasure to himself.
Is it nice, my precious? Is it juicy? Is it scrumptiously crunchable?
He began to peer at Bilbo out of the darkness. Half a moment, said the hobbit, shivering. I gave you a good long chance just now.
It must make haste, 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 said Gollum,
beginning to climb out of his boat onto the shore to get at Bilbo. But when he put out his long, webby foot in the water, a fish jumped out in a fright and fell on Bilbo's toes.
Look, he said. It's cold, clammy.
And so he guessed.
Fish, fish, he cried. It's a fish.
Gollum was dreadfully disappointed. But Bilbo asked another riddle as quick as ever he could, so the Gollum had to get back into his boat and think.
No legs,
lay on one leg. Two legs sat near on three legs. Four legs got some. It was not really the right time for this riddle, but Bilbo was in a hurry. Gollum might have had some trouble guessing it if he'd asked it another time. As it was, talking of fish, no legs were not so very difficult, and after that the rest was easy. Fish on a little table, man at table sitting on a stool, the cat has the bones. That, of course, is the answer, and Gollum soon gave it. Then he thought the time had come to ask something hard and horrible.
Snow White, O Lady Clear, O Queen beyond the western sea, O light to us that wander here amid the world of woven trees. Gilthaniel, O Elbereth, clear are thy eyes and bright thy breath. Snow White, we sing to thee in a far land beyond the sea. O stars that in the sunlit year with shining hand by her were sown, in windy fields now bright and clear we see your silver blossom blown. O Elbereth, Gilthaniel, we still remember, we who dwell in this far land beneath the trees, thy starlight on the western sea.
I cannot read the fiery letters, said Frodo in a quavering voice. No, said Gandalf, but I can. The letters are Elvish, of an ancient mode, the language that of Mordor, which I will not utter here. This in the common tongue is what is said, close enough. One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, in the darkness bind them. There's only two lines of a verse long known in elven lore. Three rings for the elven kings under the sky, seven for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone, nine for mortal men doomed to die, one for the dark lord on his dark throne in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness bind them in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie.